Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. In John chapter 10, verse 1 and the verses that follow, the Lord drops the figure of Himself as the door and presents Himself as the Good Shepherd. In this verse, He contrasts the object of the false shepherd with His own object of coming into the world. Let's listen and learn.
We want to go to the Word of the Lord this morning with John chapter 10. Your program says verses 14 through 21. I only made it through verse 16 in my studies. Amen? Amen. I think after I got through verse 16, I looked at my notes and I had 12 pages of notes. So I said, I don't think I'm going to make it to 21. Amen? Amen. And so we're just going to cover three verses today. We're studying this parable that many have entitled the parable of the good shepherd. And so just a few verses. And so since there's only three, let's all just read these together. And let's read it loud and as possibly can, starting at verse 14 through 16. Let's read. I am the good shepherd, know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock. Can God's people say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You might be seated. This is the third sermon in this series entitled The Good Shepherd. The particular passage we are studying Jesus in His role as the Good Shepherd. It is what New Testament scholars call a parable. A Bible parable, of course, is a short story or simply a short work of prose, and prose is simply a writing in its normal format, which serves the purpose of teaching spiritual truth. In this parable, our Lord calls Himself the door of the sheep. He calls Himself the good shepherd. He calls the people of God the sheep. He calls the collective body of believers or the people of God for all time the fold. And He calls false messiahs or false teachers who are teaching false doctrine, He calls them wolves. He calls them thieves. He calls them robbers. And He also calls Satan in particular not a thief, but the thief. And in last Sunday's sermon, we discovered the following. Those who are truly the sheep of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, they will not hear or listen or follow a false messiah. They will not hear or follow a false teacher who is teaching false doctrine because they understand that Jesus is their shepherd. And because He is their shepherd, they shall not want or they lack nothing. The Lord put it like this in John 10 and 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. Number two, Jesus is the only door to salvation, and He is the only way for the believer to grow in the faith. Therefore, if any person comes to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, they will be saved. Not only that, all who come to the Father through Jesus Christ, God's Son, they will grow with the Lord. They will grow in grace to some degree or another in their walk with the Lord. There is no such thing as a carnal Christian. There is no such thing as an absolutely worldly, fleshly child of God. We may have that, but that is not our pattern of life. And the reason why is because as the good shepherd, He leads us in and out pastures. And so green pastures is where the sheep got the necessary food and nutrients to become strong, healthy. So the Lord is your shepherd. He's going to be leading you in and out to green pastures. Amen. And you will grow in Him. The Lord said this, 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pastor. Found out that the personality who is working behind the scenes through all false messiahs and all false teachers is Satan. He is the one that the Lord, the thief. Therefore, Satan, through false messiahs and false teachers, through those men and women, he wreaks spiritual, psychological, and even bodily havoc in people's lives. Satan will steal your joy. He will rob you of your freedom in Christ Jesus. He will kill your spiritual growth, destroy you spiritually. He will destroy you psychologically, and he will destroy you bodily. And most often, the crack enables Satan to creep into a person's life to do these things is false doctrine or bad teaching. And so, you know, this way Satan can get to you is through false teaching or bad teaching. Amen. And so this is why, you know, you need to be careful what studies you attend. Amen. Because you may, you know, open a little bit of crack to plant his foot in your life. And he's out to kill you and destroy you. In contrast, the Lord says he gives abundant spiritual life. Because a person who's in Christ, they don't lack anything, and they lack nothing because of their relationship with the Lord. And this relationship will abundant spiritual life. The Lord says it like this in John 10:10. The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. And then four, we discover that Jesus, as the good shepherd, literally gave his life for a sheep. Act of love one can do is to give their life for someone else. Jesus proved he loved the sheep by giving his life for the sheep. He gave his own body, his own blood, as a ransom for the sheep to be set free. In contrast, false messiahs and false teachers who are teaching false doctrines, they have no genuine concern for the sheep. They have no genuine concern for God's people. For when they know a wolf or a false messiah or a false teacher who is teaching false doctrine is near, they don't protect the sheep. They say nothing. They do nothing. They leave the sheep, or they leave God's people, to be ravaged by the false teacher who teaches false doctrine. And so the Lord taught us that the reason why false teachers never teach and they never warn people about false messiahs and false teachers is because the Lord says they're really not concerned about the sheep. But they're really only concerned about themselves. Beware of preachers who, at the end of the day, it's all about me. Amen. Because that says they really don't care about the sheep. And the Lord stated this like this, John 10:11-13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand. He is not concerned about the sheep. All right, I want to move on this morning, and we're going to go in some deeper waters. Amen. And we're just going to look at verses 14 through 16, in which we shall discover that those who are the genuine sheep of the Lord, or those who are truly the people of God, they know Jesus just as Jesus knows his Father, and the Father knows Jesus. Let me say it again. If you are really saved, you will know your Lord as he knows his Father, and the Father knows him. We shall discover that in the mind of God, the sheep are the people of God. They were the sheep of the people of God before they were the people of God. Hope you didn't miss it. Amen. We shall discover in the mind of God, the sheep of the people of God, they were the sheep of the people of God before they were the people of God. We shall discover that in the mind of God, Jesus had already brought the sheep of God who were not the sheep of God into the flock of God before they were in the flock of God. Y'all looking at me funny already. We shall discover that when Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, called the sheep, who were already the sheep of God before they were the sheep of God, to be saved, they will hear his voice and they will be saved. Amen. We shall discover that there is just one flock of God, one people of God, who have only one shepherd, and this shepherd's name is Jesus. Amen. Verses 14 through 15, the Lord says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice in these verses, Jesus says, he is the good shepherd, and as the good shepherd, he knows his own, he knows his sheep, he knows his people, he knows those who belong to him. Likewise, Jesus' sheep, his people, that's us if you are saved, those who belong to him know him, even as the Father knows Jesus, and even as Jesus knows the Father. Now, the word know in this verse, it's a Greek word, ginosko or ginosko. It was not, and it is not, a mere intellectual knowledge of someone. See, some of you are great at that. You're great at knowledge, but very poor when it comes to relationship. Great at spouting off facts, but have a difficult time with intimacy. And so this is not a knowledge based on intellectual prowess. It was, or it is, a knowledge based on an intimate relationship with one another. This was the knowledge which came from an intimate relationship with another. It is further substantiated by what our Lord says in verse 15, in which he compares how he knows his own, and his own know him, with how he knew the Father, and the Father knew him. You see, this intimate knowledge that Jesus Christ the Son has of his Father, and this intimate knowledge the Father has of his Son, it is perfectly pictured or given to us in John 1:1. And John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was Jesus in his pre-incarnate state, or the Word is who the Lord was or is before he took upon himself a human nature through the womb of the Virgin Mary. So in the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning, look at it like this, in the beginning was Jesus. Amen. And the Word was with God, or Jesus was with God, and the Word was God. Later on you read in verse 14 the same chapter that, and the Word became flesh. That's the incarnation in the Virgin Mary. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word with in this verse, when it says, and the Word was with God, it's the Greek preposition pros. And this particular Greek preposition, it literally means face to face. And so face-to-face implies intimacy. That's why I have a hard time trusting somebody who won't tell me what they need to know by looking me in the eye. Amen. You know I'm telling you the truth, Pastor Kim. Oh, really? Amen. But when it says, and the Word was with God, it literally means, and the Word was face to face with God. Jesus was face to face with his Father. And so this was the relationship of the Father with Jesus, his Son. It was one of intimacy. They were eternally face to face. This face to face relationship Jesus had and has with his Father, in which they knew each other intimately, it is the same relationship those who are the sheep of God have with their Lord Jesus Christ, and the relationship Jesus has with his sheep. The Lord knows with great intimacy those who belong to him, and God's people know their Lord intimately. Do you know the Lord intimately? Because this is the type of relationship that proves you truly are one of God's sheep. Amen. that you truly are one who is of the flock of God. And also, if you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, he will share deep truth about himself to you through his word. And as a result, you will share truth about the Lord with others. Because you know him intimately. Amen. See, when you're intimate with someone, you know, y'all know stuff about each other don't nobody else know. Amen. See, it's intimate. Face to face. Some of y'all trying to have a back-to-face relationship with the Lord. Amen. You trying to relate to the Lord and he looking at the back of your head. Amen. You know I love you, Lord. Well, why don't you turn around and say that to my face? You know I love you, Lord. Those who know him intimately. If you know the Lord intimately, he will share truth about himself to you through his word. And as a result of that, you will only share truth about him to others. But because you know him intimately. See, when you know somebody intimately, you don't want to put out no false information about them. Amen. You don't want to put out no bad stuff. You don't want to put misinformation out and say something they didn't say and get some mess started. Amen. Because I love this person and it's an intimate relationship and I only want people to know the truth. Amen. Now, as all of you know, you have heard me on many occasions. Hopefully when the biblical text dictated such. Preach and teach. I have a great issue with people who reject the doctrine of the Trinity, or they reject the fact that there is one God who eternally subsists or eternally abides or remains in three distinct persons. The Bible reveals as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is one God, and this one God is three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They share one and the same essence. They share one and the same substance. They share one and the same omnipotence. They share one and the same omniscience. They share one and the same omnipresence. They are one in love. They share the same mercy, the same grace. They are one. Three persons, but one God. These three persons who are the one God, listen, they have an eternal relationship with each other. As indicated in this text, because the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father. Out of an intimate relationship, you can't be face to face with yourself. Amen. You can't be face to face with yourself. You can look in the mirror, but that's not the real you. Amen. That's just a reflection. Amen. But face to face, there's a relationship between the Father and the Son, and the Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son. And Jesus even said the Father loved the Son, and the Son loved the Father. Jesus said no man can declare the Father but me. Why? Because we're intimate. We are one. That's why only he could declare God. See, if you are saved or you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, in which you know him even as, or like the, he knows the Father and his Father knows him. You know, you will clearly, somewhere along the line, see what I just said in the scripture. As you read your Bible on your own or you learn it through sound Bible preaching and teaching, you will see Jesus and his Father. They are distinct persons, but they are the same God. They are of the same essence and substance. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am distinct, but yet we are the same thing. We share the same stuff, the same essence. What the Father can do, I can do. If you've seen me, you've seen God. You don't need to look for any other. Amen. But there's a relationship, and that's why he can intercede between us and God, because there's an intimate relationship, and that's why he can intercede for you, his sheep, between the Father. Amen. Because the Father always hears and listens to his Son. And so when the Son says, David Kendall is all right with me, I am all right with him, because they intimately relate to one another. There's a relationship there. if you are saved, somewhere along the line, you ought to know this. Amen. If you truly know the Lord intimately, as Jesus declares in the passage we are studying, see, you were never declared. And I know some of y'all don't like me doing this, but that's, I'm a shepherd. And so I not only call out all wolves, I go after them. I don't wait around for the wolf to attack the sheep and then I'm going to get busy. Amen. No, I'm going out after you. Amen. I remember one time my father and I, we were going fishing. And this is a fishing hole way deep in the woods. And we were on the way to this fishing spot. And we ran into, it looked like a rabbit dog. He was foaming at the mouth, drooling at the mouth. And we were walking down the trail and he was coming down the trail the other way. And we stopped and looked at him. And he stopped and looked at us. About from here to that door back there. And me and my father both went after him. Amen. He was rabid, but he wasn't crazy. Amen. He got out. Amen. With everything we had. Amen. And we were swinging fishing rods at him and throwing and everything else. See, you know, sometimes you can't, you don't wait for the wolf to get a hold of your leg and then decide it's time to do something. Amen. Because by that time, normally you done lost a leg. Amen. You know, when you lose an arm, you know, I think it's time for me to do something. But you don't want to wait till you lose an arm. Amen. So I don't wait for the wolf to attack. I go on the attack. Amen. And so I know you don't like it, but I'm going to say it again. That's why if you intimately know the Lord, as he says in this passage, you would never declare, as T.D. Jakes does, that there is no eternal relationship between the Father and the Son in which they know and trust each other intimately, because he says there's only one person who changes his appearance as the situation is appropriate. So you need to understand this is a different God than the God revealed in Scripture. But see, some of you can't get past that because you're taken by the way he sounds. He's a great communicator, master communicator. Knows how to squall when he needs to. Amen. Knows how to rub shoulders with Hollywood elite. Amen. Somebody said he got a talk show out and he said he's quite good. Amen. Yeah, I said, yeah, he sure can entertain. Amen. But you see, that's a different God than, that's a different Jesus than the one in Scripture. See, when you intimately know Jesus when you intimately know Jesus, you know that when he prayed to his Father, this was based upon an intimacy for a person cannot pray to himself. So when he said, Father, glorify thou me with the glory I have with you before the world, that was an intimate conversation between distinct persons. You cannot be saved if there is not a distinct person interceding between you and God. And so this is why this the doctrine of the Trinity, it is inseparable from being saved. You can't even come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws you and convicts you. I'm saying, but you are intimate with God, you will know these things. And if you don't know these things, when you hear them, you'll see it in the Bible, and you will say yes to the Lord. Amen. You won't repeatedly fight against it. Amen. As he has done. Time after time after time, they pull him out. Oh, no, I still believe it. You know, Jesus was one way in creation, then he turned into the Son, and now he turned into it. I don't, that's not this Jesus of the Bible. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that Jesus he's talking about cannot save you from your sin. Let me move on. If you know the Lord intimately, you know what the Lord believed about his word. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you intimately know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know he believed every word in the scripture was inseparable from life. Because he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if you know your Lord intimately, you ought to know there's something wrong when a person says, your problem is you got too much Bible. Now, Jesus said you need every word to live. And you're telling me you got too much. That's your problem, too much Bible. No, Jesus said he believed every word. Well, you know, the thoughts are there and the kind, but you know, if you are intimate with your Jesus and you know what he believed about the word of God, amen, you would not develop a deer in the headlight look when somebody came at you with the word of God and said, this is what God says in his word, amen, because you are intimate with him. What I'm trying to say is, let me give you one more. If you really know the Lord intimately as he knows the Father and the Father knows him, you would never say Jesus shared the ignorances of his day. And he did not know that homosexuality and lesbianism cannot be sin because we now know they were born that way. And if they were born that way, that is the way God made them. When people say this foolishness, what they are literally saying is Jesus, God in flesh, did not know that he was making a mistake when he decreed this to be sin because if he was smart enough, he should have known he created them this way. Y'all hear what I just said, didn't you? Now you saying he didn't understand that, child. Well, wait a minute, he made man. Amen. So you mean to tell you he didn't know what he made? Amen. He made a mistake back then. You know, back then it's abomination and man shall not lie with man as he does, you know, all this kind of stuff. So now all of a sudden you didn't got new information he didn't know. See, if you know the Lord intimately, you and what I'm trying to say is this. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as he knows the Father and the Father knows him in a relationship of intimacy, you will not teach nor believe things which stray greatly from what we know and read about Jesus in the Word of God. I will not let you say things about Sister Kinlow because we are intimate, amen. I'm not going to let you just say anything and talk about my daughter, any old, because intimacy, amen, amen. So we ain't going that route, amen. So no, that's not true. That's a lie, amen. You want to get me fighting in a hurry, amen. That's the way to do it, amen. If you are intimate with your Lord, you will not tolerate people saying just anything about him. That's not true. Let me move on. Verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. This is a profound and deep verse of scripture which I pray I handle accurately or divide rightly. Having said this, the sheep Jesus had been referring to up to this verse, they were the sheep of the house of Israel, or those Jewish people who had believed on him. So up to this point, the sheep was really those of Israel who had believed on him. The sheep whom Jesus says were not of this fold, or they were not of the fold of the Jews who had believed on him, whom he would bring into the fold, they were Gentiles who had not as of yet believed on Christ unto salvation. At the moment Jesus spoke these words, the Gentile world, or those who were not Jews for the most part, were still without God, without hope, and most often entrenched in various pagan mystery religions. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, summarizes up the Gentile spiritual condition before they turned to Christ in Ephesians 2:11 through 12, and it says this, therefore remember that you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The first recorded Gentile to come to know the Lord is in Acts chapter 8. His name was, well, we call him the Ethiopian, means burnt face. So we know that this first Gentile convert, he was a black man.
Understanding the Scriptures is a broadcast of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Join us tomorrow for part 4 of Dr. Kinlow's message on the Good Shepherd.